Hi, I'm Rick Bennett, host of Gospel Tangents. I need your help. Please donate on our website, gospeltangents.com, and click on the donate button. It can be a one-time donation or a recurring donation. Your donation will help us to create better resources to learn more about Mormon history. So far, it's been a labor of love, but I really need some help getting better equipment, better sound, that sort of thing. So please either commit to a recurring donation or a one-time donation. We'll take any help we can get. Thank you for your help. Hey, everybody. I wanted to remind you about our contest. Please sign up by July 24th, 2017. Actually, sign up the day before that because that's the day we're holding the drawing. You could win this book. I was at Benchmark Books this week to pick it up. This is it. Notice it still has the plastic on it. Brand new book. I had to get another one. This one doesn't have the shrink wrap on it. This one's mine. But this is what it looks like. It's a really cool book. Kurt Bench wrote the introduction. He's the guy I interviewed a few weeks ago. We've teamed up with Benchmark Books. To get this book, the one with the shrink wrap, all you need to do is, well, actually, you need to be the winner of our drawing. But to be in the contest, just sign up at gospeltangents.com/newsletter. And you could win this really cool book. It was selling for $175 on Amazon just a few weeks ago, even higher on Abe Books. So check it out. It's a cool book. We're continuing our conversation with David Rosenbaum. He's the guy who came up with the idea that the Book of Mormon lands may have occurred in the Baja Peninsula. We'll also discuss some other issues with the Book of Mormon. Are there two Hill Cumorahs? What about steel swords? We'll talk about that in this conversation. Since you mentioned Cumorah, even with Sorensen, one of the drawbacks on there is that they talk about a two Cumorah theory, that the great battle at the end of the Book of Mormon took place in Mesoamerica, and then you have to say, well, Joseph Smith said it found the Hill Cumorah. Joseph Smith believed that that Hill Cumorah was in New York. So with Sorensen, you'd have to say, well, how did it get from Central America to New York? Yeah. And if you're telling me that Hill Cumorah is in Baja, you still have the same issue. Sure. How do we get the plates from Baja or Mesoamerica to New York?
Most commonly asked question I get. And so let me try to back up here a little bit. I think it's important to use the text, first of all. And also to go back and look at what Joseph Smith actually said and recorded. In all the research we have found that we can attribute to Joseph Smith, he never referred to the hill north of Manchester as Cumorah. That seems, our earliest one seems to be Parley P. Pratt and some of those earlies in some of their tracts referring to it at it. But Joseph Smith, even in his history, written 20 years after his experience, referred to it as the hill north of Manchester. And so I think it's important that we, if you want to give it a name, let's give it the name that Joseph Smith did, as well as Moroni. Moroni never referred to it as the Hill Cumorah. So it's a hill in New York, and I think it's an important hill. Let's go back to the text in Mormon. And I think it's in chapter 6, verse 6. And Mormon, who has taken all the records from Hill Shim, where they were normally stored, taking him up to Hill Cumorah, wherever that may be, final battles ensuing, he gets the sense all is going to be destroyed, and he buries the large majority of his records. And then he goes on to say, save these few records, which I give to my son Moroni. So, in this Hill Cumorah that the text referred to is this large burial of all the records. But Moroni, his son, who also survives this, has the plates that he just abridged. And I assume these are the same ones that Joseph Smith was given. That was in about 385 AD, when Moroni is given these few plates. Moroni then says he goes northward, because if he goes southward, he's going to get clicked. And we don't know where he goes, but we do know how long it took him that he wandered. He again buries the plate in 420 AD, we believe in the hill north of Manchester, where Joseph Smith would eventually meet with him. That's a period of about 36 years. So how would one get plates that one can carry, these few plates, to that sort of distance? Well, if you want to break it down per year, it's about the distance from Provo to Ogden every year that he, Moroni, would have had to traveled with these plates. We don't know. We have one kind of point that's kind of interesting. Manti, Utah is a place that Brigham Young states that Moroni dedicated the temple site. And if you go down there, there's a statue and Moroni's there dedicating. So you can see if one started in Baja and had to get to New York in 36 years, one could easily take that path. So our theory isn't so much about two Cumorahs, it's about two hills. One in the text called the Hill Cumorah, and one where Joseph Smith got the plates called the Hill North of Manchester. Now, I kind of like that we as a saints call that hill in New York Cumorah. I think it's great. We have a Mount Nebo in Utah, and there's one in Israel. But this isn't the one where Moses looked over and saw the Promised Land. We've got a River Jordan in Utah, and we have one in Israel. I think it's great that we have, though, but I think we have to be careful that we can't assume both hills are identical, if that makes sense. So we have Joseph Smith, who gets the plates from Moroni in a hill north of Manchester, and that's actually in the text. And then we have in the text that Mormon buries the records in the Hill Cumorah. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we answer it. We'll have to find out once Moroni gives us the final answer here, but that's how we approach it.
Okay. You know, I know Sorensen has said when you look at a geography theory, you have to look at all the evidence. And
absolutely.
One of the critics of Sorensen, and I think you kind of touched on a little bit, was, you know, I think there's the story of the descendants of King Lamoni, and it says that they buried their swords and their swords, quote, rusted.
Mm-hmm.
So these sound like steel swords. Steel swords rust.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest problems with I'm just gonna throw this out with all of both North and South American theories, whether it be New York or Heartland or whatever. The Native Americans did not use steel. There is nothing. They just were very much more primitive than, you know, Europeans and that sort of thing. So Sorensen has said, well, he's found this obsidian club, which I'm sure is a deadly, deadly weapon that I believe the Olmecs or the Aztecs used, or you know, whoever. But that does not rust.
It
doesn't seem to match the Book of Mormon very well, at least that description about these rusting swords.
Yeah.
How do you handle that with the Baja theory?
Yeah, very interesting. So one of the unique things about Baja is that it's part of the Rocky Mountain Range. And the Rocky Mountain Range is where you find the raw materials for metals, gold, silver, copper, iron, all those things are found mostly in North America in the Rocky Mountains. So that's an important thing if you're going to do Book of Mormon geography. You're going to have to be close to places that have outcroppings of those materials. In Baja, we have it in spades. Even today, they have gold, silver, and copper mines running today. They're still taking it out of there. And not only do you have to have it there, you have to have it in the places the Book of Mormon talks about it. So you're going to have where they landed evidence of gold, silver, copper in outcroppings. When they move north into Zarahemla, you better have something nearby, and we have all that. One of the things that's most interesting that we have learned since we started this, if you go down to the museums in Baja California, specifically the Museum of La Paz, they'll have a display of swords, and half of them are Spanish swords that they know they're very beautiful, they have a certain design, and they're on display. Just so happens they have this other collection, which is a completely different design, much older, very rusted, that are swords and knives and all sorts of metal implements that they say they have gotten from some burial sites when they dig up and they found them in the ground. So we have metal swords, just as described, from the Baja Peninsula. What we're missing is a full archaeological excavation of more of that. So we're finding it very exciting that, one, we've got the areas where metal is still there today that you can take from outcroppings. Two, you've got smelting sites that are ancient. They all claim they're pre-Spanish, they're smelting sites. Number three, they do have evidence of metal implements on the peninsula. So at this point, the Book of Mormon's holding together. Now, the rest of North America, yeah, you've got a problem with it, but not the Baja Peninsula. We've got the metal implements.
So you've got metal swords on the Baja?
Yes.
I'm not familiar with that. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, well,
that's interesting.
We'll show you the pictures of them.
All right. You mentioned the Jaredites a little bit earlier. Let's talk a little bit about that. Book of Mormon talks about elephants and horses.
Yeah.
That's been a big knock against Sorensen, that there's no elephants in North America, or if they are, they're woolly mammoths from, 30,000 years ago or whatever. How do you handle those kind of problems, the animals?
Very scientific. So I assume you're familiar with the La Brea tar pits. You heard of them?
I have heard of them, but I don't think they date to Book of Mormon times, do they?
Well, we don't know what time they built, but let me just use that as a starting point. The La Brea tar pits are an interesting sample along the western side, just north of Baja, California, where animals in that climate and that area came to drink, got caught, died, and so on. And they have this whole array of animal bones there. A couple of the animals in there, very unique. Camels are found in there. Elephants are found in there. All of the animals mentioned in the Book of Mormon are found in the La Brea tar pits. Just a little while ago, while they were digging the subway in Los Angeles, this is just last November, 2015, big article in LA Times, elephant found in that area. Not woolly mammoth, elephant. And so when we look at animals, we look for the plausibility of the animals in an area. And this becomes very geographical. This is biogeography. And you can account for every animal in the Book of Mormon in Baja today. Even there have been digs and other, farmers digging who have come across full-on elephants and camel bones even as of 10 years ago. And you walk into their museums and they have dioramas of horses and elephants and all those animals in that area, even though they're not in the others. So this is one of the things that's getting a lot of people at BYU excited, gets us excited, is the Baja has been forgotten. And we try to apply the same things that happen in Mesoamerica or in New York and assume that's going to happen in Baja. But what we're learning, it's not. We've got swords, we've got animals, we've got the DNA of the plants. So just to take a tangent on you here, even the DNA of the plants in Baja match Egypt and Oman. And that was done by a study out of Arizona. So I think it's important when doing this is you have to do local scientific studies, not general North America ones. But when you look local, you'll find that Baja has all of those things. And there's so much more to do. I don't want to suggest that we've done all the work and it's done. We've just scratching the surface and there's enough there to say, keep going. We haven't learned everything. So animals are a fun one. When you go to Baja, you go to the museums, you'll see amazing things.
We'll have to take a trip there.
You should.
I hope you enjoyed our discussion with David Rosenball. In our next conversation, we're going to talk about the thorniest subject of all with the Book of Mormon, DNA. If Lehi came from the Middle East, shouldn't Native Americans have Middle Eastern DNA? It turns out it's mostly Asian. How does David explain that? Okay, so let me make sure I understand what you're saying on that. So you're saying the Tower of Babel, which I believe was probably Kuwait or Iraq, somewhere around there.
Pick your location down in there.
So the Jaredites traveled through China?
Yeah.
Okay. And so then they crossed from China across these ocean currents, maybe up through the Bering Strait, and then, I don't know, does that go all the way to the Baja?
Yeah, so the best, do you remember when they had the tsunamis in Japan? I think it was about 5-6 years ago, something like that. One of the things that was most interesting, about a year after that, docks and soccer balls and toys and things that could float started ending up from Vancouver all the way down to Los Angeles. They'd get washed up on the shores. In fact, there's a really neat little story of a soccer ball that arrived, and it had the boy's name on it, and they were able to get it back to the boy. Those items took almost a year. So the current is perfect for the timing to get across if you don't have a sail on your boat.
Click here to subscribe, click here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some other videos that we've done here on YouTube. We hope you'll use this as a valuable resource to learn more about Mormon history.